And Closer Look continues now here on 90.1 WABE. This is Atlanta's Choice for NPR. As always, I'm Rose Scott. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp announced last week more than 400,000 seniors here in Georgia have been vaccinated so far for COVID-19. And the governor has always maintained that vaccinating those over the age of 65 years and older is his top priority, along with first responders. But there have been some challenges, including a limited supply of the doses. Now, the Biden administration is pledging 100 million vaccine shots in 100 days. Ambitious and challenging, considering that so far it's estimated at least 26.5 million Americans have received one or both doses. Now, my next guest is someone who knows the impact that this can have more than anyone else I can imagine. But she is Patricia Will. She's the founder and CEO of Belmont Village Senior Living. It's a network of communities, including right here in Georgia. Miss Will, thank you for taking time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Let's begin here. I just want to know how are the communities doing? I know this past year has been so difficult, not just for the Belmont community, but so many of these senior living communities. Can you put into words on how this has been for the folks there?
Well, the one thing I can say is that despite all of the changes and all of the difficulties and all of the protocols, our seniors are really remarkably resilient. They have been through the wars, even some that have been through prior pandemics, and they've demonstrated to us that there's always a ray of light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. For them, it is the vaccine, and that's why we're so excited that they've been able to be vaccinated.
And how many senior living communities are part of the entire Belmont Village network?
We have 31 communities across the country, including two in Atlanta, mm-hmm. and of those 30 will have completed their first vaccine clinic today.
Wow. When you think back to when you all had to obviously change protocols for people visiting, people leaving, and you look back then and then to now, how much has changed, or you still have some precautions in place?
Oh, we still have plenty of precautions in place. The first thing we had to do is restrict visitors and change the manner in which people could visit. Maintaining safe social distancing, everybody masking, to the extent that there was COVID positivity inside a building, restricting visitation altogether. At times, just like with the seasonal flu, seniors were on quarantine. Life changed dramatically for our staff as well. We had to master the art of testing very quickly and continuously test both residents and staff to be sure that we can isolate positive COVID cases.
Now, go ahead.
Through it all, we have had to become very creative. I think we were creative before, but this has really put us to the test. And also advanced the use of technology in our communities so that families could continue to celebrate weddings and birthdays. My dad lives in one of our community and had his 90th birthday party in a giant Zoom room. prior to COVID-19, he didn't know what FaceTime was. Yeah. So I think that we've adapted.
Wow. Are you currently allowing visits from families, or is it still?
Depending on where you are in the country, yes, we are able to allow visits. But the visits are restrained. Social distances mean 6 feet apart, very often behind plexiglass, outdoors recommended. However, in certain climates, we can't always achieve that.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this, because we're going to get to the vaccines in just a moment. But I'm also curious, did you have to suspend new move-ins or folks wanting to come and visit to see the grounds? Because I imagine if you had to limit family visits, you also have to limit folks
sure.
just coming to check it out.
Very first thing we did as we introduced testing in our communities back in March and restricted visitation was for a period of time restrict move-ins altogether. Hmm. That's a very hard thing to do. Mm-hmm. It kind of goes against the grain. I've been doing this since the founding of the company in 1997, and the idea that a family is in need and wants to move in and can't is a little bit hard, mm-hmm. but we did it for a period of time in order to be sure that we mastered what we needed to do inside with the residents that we have already. Today, a new move-in will be tested prior to moving in, quarantined, and then tested a second time, unless and until we have enough residents that have obtained the vaccine.
So, and I want to obviously respect a lot of people's privacy, but Ms. Will, do you know if you've had any either residents or, you know, faculty, staff that have contracted the virus at all?
Absolutely. I think that anyone in our shoes and in society in general would be deceitful if they didn't admit knowing up to the fact that this very contagious disease spread through people who are largely asymptomatic, didn't invade their house. So yes, and we find the disease within us by constant testing. Mm-hmm. So to the extent that we do that, we are likely to find the disease, which is a good thing because then we can take all the precautions to isolate the individual or quarantine them at home.
Now, throughout the network, you all are you partnering with local health departments and having them come in to do the testing, or are you doing this through a private provider?
The testing that we do is all done through private providers, and it is done in a variety of ways to assure that we can frequently test all employees, since they're moving around more than our seniors are, mm-hmm. and as well seniors who may have come in contact with somebody with COVID-19 or who have symptoms. But we partner with private labs across the country, launched that last March, expanded it during the summer, and have excellent providers that can give us great service overnight.
The voice you hear is Patricia Will. She's the founder and CEO of Belmont Village Senior Living. And we're talking about the impact of the COVID-19 on the senior living communities throughout the network. And also now we're going to talk about the vaccines. And Ms. Will, I imagine as the vaccines became available, you all jumped at the opportunity to make sure you could get your facilities. How did that happen? Was there a long process, and have all your communities now been able to at least offer the vaccines to your residents?
The process was actually fairly straightforward. In the beginning of November, the CDC opened a portal for senior living communities like ours to enter their data, basic census data, how many people work there, how many people live there. Once the two vaccines that are out currently, Pfizer and Moderna, received FDA approval, we had already been assigned to a national pharmacy chain to perform the vaccine clinics within our communities. Walgreens was assigned to us. Mm. They have done a terrific job. And the clinics happen in a series of three. The first clinic, everyone who's consented to take the vaccine gets the vaccine. The second clinic, we pick up additional people who may have missed the first and the second dose for the first people. And the third clinic, which comes up at intervals of roughly 21 to 28 days, is for those who got their first vaccine on the second clinic. I know that sounds like a tongue twister, but in fact, it's a very logical progression. Where we are today is that every community in the country will have gotten the first vaccine clinic, and we've now had second vaccine clinics in about six of our communities.
Mm-hmm. Are you able to determine the percentage of the residents in these senior living communities that said, hey, yeah, I'm all for it, let's kick it up, let me get this vaccine, and a percentage that said, no, I want to wait, or just did not want to do it?
Well, I can tell you that the seniors are not for waiting. and we've had 97% of our seniors take the vaccine. And the few that haven't have a medical reason that they had to wait. We're shooting for 100%, and we think that's what's going to happen. Equally important are our team members, because mm-hmm. our team members have really, through this pandemic, done an extraordinary job in the communities with a variety of changes and have to keep themselves and their families safe. We're happy to say that across the country, over 75% of our team members have said yes to the vaccine. And again, we're shooting for the moon. We want to see that number rise to 100%, if at all possible.
Let's talk about your team members for a moment before I let you go. How important they've been throughout all of this and staying with your communities, with the seniors living in these communities, how they've been in all of this.
Well, the term essential workers, I think, really describes them well, but it leaves out the tremendous heart with which they've approached their jobs. We have a saying in our company that our caregivers are PALS. It's an acronym for Personal Assistance Liaison. But if ever, during this period of restricted visits and in apartment quarantines and protocols of masks, if ever our frontline workers were PALS, it's through this pandemic. Mm. We all ought to stand up and salute them.
You couldn't have made it without them, huh?
No.
You know, the distribution of this vaccine, Ms. Will, has been called a ray of hope for Americans throughout this pandemic, and especially when we hear so many accounts of our seniors who feel isolated, who've not been able to hug their grandchildren. You know, I miss my aunts and my great uncles, and I have not even seen any of them. But what will this say through your lens in terms of these seniors being able to get vaccinated and maybe for them just allow them to, you know, have some sense of normalcy, whatever that will be one day?
It has been described over and over again as the greatest gift that they could imagine, this gift of immunity. The idea that after a period of time they may be able to unmask and see smiles, the sense of touch that's so important, and fraternizing. When you are 89 or 90 years old and you are at a table in the dining room reading a novel because your friend is across the room, that's a tough thing.
Yeah.
They've been doing it. They've been doing it with grace. But the gift of immunity is the light at the end of the tunnel.
And how have you been doing through all of this? And you are also a caregiver. You mentioned your father, who's 90. How have you personally been doing through all of this? I'm curious.
To be honest with you, I look to the seniors for resilience.
Yeah.
And I look at what they've experienced and their continued buoyancy despite everything. And it kind of keeps me up. It's been a grind. There's no other way to describe it. But we will persevere. We're getting there now. And I'm excited that we're able to be a part of solutions, not just playing defense against the problem.
Absolutely. And just to be clear, are you still waiting for the second dose of some of those vaccines? Or are you all on schedule to get?
Okay. We have second doses coming across the country at various points in time within the next week or two in Atlanta, and we can't wait.
All right. Patricia Will, the founder and CEO of Belmont Village Senior Living, a network of communities. Thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it. Best of luck to you, all of your senior residents, and your wonderful team members. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, Rose.
Take care now.
Rose.
Take care now.
Rose.
Take care now.